Reading this morning is John 20, verses 1 through 18, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I do also want to say thank you to some other folks this morning. It's been a very busy week for us, Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. We shared a community service and Easter sunrise service, and so I know Rita and Heidi are instrumentalists on organ piano, and they always spend extra time putting together such great instrumental music for us, and they have to work together on that and make those connections. And not only do they do that, but then they also lead our choir. And so we had two wonderful pieces on Palm Sunday of last week, and they led the choir for Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. So also thank you to the choir for doing extended work this week and for all that you all have done to make this just a beautiful musical Holy Week. And then also thank you to Pastor Marcia, who really takes a lot off my plate during this week. I had people walk up to me this morning, "Oh, it must have been an early morning for you." And I'm like, "Well, actually it was an early morning for Marcia." because she's the one that has the big heart to get up and do the Good Friday or the sunrise service, but then also the Maundy Thursday service. So can we just extend some thanks to all those ladies in the choir for thank you all so much. Well, have you ever watched a sunrise after a long night? Maybe you've been up with a sick child, a sick grandchild, maybe just lying awake, maybe heavy with worry, heavy with grief. Do I have any other anxious sleepers here, right? Sometimes we're up more during the night than what we would really like to be. You don't want to be up all night. I don't want to be up all night. It just kind of turned out that way, that you really spent more time awake during the night than you did sleeping. My wife, she likes to plan these beach trips where she drives all night in order to get to the beach. And I say that she drives all night because if I'm on this trip and I'm driving, we're stopping at 10 o'clock and we're kind of getting a hotel room, and we're hunkering down to get a good night's sleep and get up early. But she doesn't do that. That's not how she rolls. She wants to get off work, and she wants to drive all through the night so that when she starts her vacation, the very first full day of her vacation, she gets to see this, right? She gets to see the sunrise coming over the ocean, which is generally the part that I wake up for. I wake up for this part, usually with an elbow in my side, and a reminder that I shouldn't be so tired. After all, I didn't do much driving last night, right? She did most of the driving. But there it is, right? There it is, a bright, beautiful orange-yellow sunrise over the beautiful blue ocean that I get to wake up to because of her great efforts. That is what Easter feels like. That's what Easter feels like. Easter morning, it's more than just a day on the calendar. It's dawn breaking into the world that thought it would never see light like this again. Never again. It's joy slipping past the guards of grief. It's hope rolling away the stones of despair. It's the wild news that death didn't win after all because we thought it had. We thought it had. That's what Easter feels like. Easter morning feels like a win. Mary Magdalene, she goes to the tomb early in the morning, and it was still dark when she got there. Early is when she left. But something in her must have kind of hoped that something would be different about the scene. And what she found was more than what she could have ever imagined. Not just an empty tomb, but a risen Savior who knew her name. This morning, we join her. We walk this path with Mary. We come through the shadows of Good Friday, the silence of Saturday, and we step into the clear blue dawn of resurrection Easter morning. So let's enter the story together, because the tomb is empty and Christ is alive. The Gospel of John, he offers a deeply personal, almost poetic account of the resurrection. Mary Magdalene, she is the first to witness the empty tomb, not just a bystander, but a central figure in the resurrection narrative, is around Mary. This passage shows the movement from sorrow to astonishment, from despair to resurrection joy. On Good Friday, all seemed lost. If you came to Good Friday service, that's how I ended it. I ended it with, all is lost, all is hopeless. Whatever will we do? They have killed our Messiah. They will come for us next. Jesus had died a brutal death. His followers scattered. Mary Magdalene, who walked so closely with Jesus, she came to the tomb expecting only to mourn, to grieve, to cry. But Easter morning broke open a great surprise for her. So from this resurrection passage, from this story, we can take with us some key spiritual applications that I think we can all apply this morning. And the first spiritual application is this, that the risen Christ meets with all of us in our sadness and our tears. Verse 11 says, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. She doesn't even recognize Jesus at first. Grief often clouds our vision. But Jesus calls her by name and says to her, Mary, Mary. You know, the resurrection is personal. It's personal. It's not just a grand theological claim. It is Christ stepping into the brokenness and into our brokenness and calling out your name in your grief. How many of us have stood outside the tomb in our lives? This metaphorical tomb. The tomb for you, it could be a loss that you experienced. It could be a failure that you experienced. It could be a fear that you have. Easter tells us Jesus meets us right there, in that moment in time, in that struggle. Not after we've pulled ourselves together, right? Not after our weeping is done, not after our loss is over or our fear is just minimized. He speaks our name with love. He lifts up our eyes, just like he did Mary in that moment. So that's the first thing we can take away. The second is this, that resurrection scatters fear and restores possibility. The stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let us into the tomb. It didn't need to move away for him. Mary first thinks the body was taken. Oh no, what's happened? They've come, they've taken him, they've unwrapped him. What have they done with him? Resurrection wasn't on her radar. She didn't think about that at first. Fear was her first impulse. But then the truth dawns, right? The resurrection shatters the finality of death and despair of the world's limitations. So, what have you given up on? What have you given up on? What dream? What calling? What relationship have you entombed as dead? Easter says, don't be so sure it's over. Don't be so sure. God's love is stubborn and creative, and even dead things don't stay dead in God's hands. Easter reminds us that our God is the God of surprise endings that lead to new beginnings. And hopefully you've heard that theme over and over again this morning already. This new beginnings. The Gospels are not the end of the New Testament. They're the beginning of the New Testament. And the same is true for God's work in your life today. For you. Believe in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ working within you in order to turn a hard corner in your life that you're facing this day. So that's the second opportunity. This third one, this last spiritual truth for us, this last one is that as resurrection people, we choose to rise with Christ into joy and mission. After Jesus calls Mary by name, she wants to cling to him. She wants to hold on to him and just be there with him, right? But he gently redirects her. If you notice that, he says, look, go, Mary, go now and tell my brothers and say to them that I am ascending. This thing is about to happen. They need to know. So resurrection isn't just something that we receive. It's something that we go and share, that we stop clinging, right? We become witnesses and proclaimers and joyful carriers of this boundless love that has now come before us in our lives. Your life, yes, yours and yours and yours and yours, is meant to reflect resurrection hope. You are not just a survivor of dark nights, you are a dawn breaker, right? With Christ you rise, with Christ you shine. With Christ, you walk into the limitless joy of the calling that he has placed upon you and the good news that he has for you. There's a story told about a man who loved to fly hang gliders like this one. No motor, just wings, just wind. Whew, right? One morning, he took off just as the sun was rising, the sky crystal clear, and as he caught a thermal, he soared higher and higher, and as he did, the world below him looked smaller and smaller. He thought to himself as he rose above it all, he thought, you know, there's something about rising on this invisible strength of this wind, nothing pushing, nothing forced, just lifted. This is what it's like when you're like us. This is, you got me? This was the big conclusion. Like, this is the,
Like I could see every like eye on me just a minute ago. Like this was, okay. All right. So he thought to himself as he rose up in the air, he thought, this feels like grace. This feels like grace. And Easter morning is like that. It's just like that. Grace lifting us without striving, without earning, into joy, into newness, into flight. So, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for you and me this Easter morning to rise with Christ? To rise as he arose. Well, let me offer three actionable invitations, right? Here's three things as we close to kind of think about this morning. First of all, I want you to think about this. Listen for your name. This week, I want you to take time to listen for your name. Take time in prayer. Go to prayer this week to hear Christ's call to you, his speaking to you above the fear or the grief or the weariness or whatever it is. Listen for him to speak your name. Second, let go of what holds you back. Whatever's holding you back, don't cling to what it was. Release that fear, release that failure, or even the comfort that keeps you from living freely as Christ desires for you, that you might live in that freedom. And last, be a resurrection witness. Speak hope, serve in love. Tell someone what Easter means to you if the conversation comes up. Not with kind of stained glass words, but with authenticity and with joy. This is not just Jesus' story. It's our story. It's the church's story. He is risen, and so are we. Not to go back to life as usual, but to rise into something new. Something new. To wake up like Mary into a world made whole again. Make right again. To be startled by love, to be called by name, and sent into the world with wild, steady, limitless hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your resurrection, and we thank you for Easter. It is the most special day for the Christian church. It is the day that we celebrate that you rose from the dead, that you conquered the grave, and that you offer us the same. And so, Jesus, we love you, we celebrate you, we thank you for all that you gave and experienced, that we might know your profound love and be forever changed by it. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.